Well, as many of you know, Victoria, for a ministerial apprentice program to get some training. And what we took advantage of was the opportunity to go a day early and attend one of the attractions that they have in the Cincinnati area. It's about 30 minutes south of Cincinnati. And the attraction is what they call the Ark Encounter. And on the back page, it has some pictures that were taken from the Ark Encounter, or it's in their handout, their advertisement that they have. What I wanted to speak on today is, in the words of encouragement, is just the subject of the Ark Encounter, which is that of Noah's Ark, and the opportunity that it provides us as a mechanism of evangelism. Okay. So the first thing that comes to mind when you they have it a bit hidden from the road, so you park your car and then you come up over a hill, and as you come to the other side of the hill, you see this massive, incredible structure that is built by man. It's a giant wooden ark. And again, lots of words come to mind. The word wow is probably the simplest one. And it makes you appreciate that mankind can do some amazing things. I have no doubt that God did lots and lots of miracles in the story of the flood, in the building of Noah's Ark, in the animals coming to the ark, in all of that. There is many miracles that are described in the Bible. But part of it is the work that was put in by Noah and his family, probably, you know, dozens of other workers that he hired to construct this incredible structure. So as I say, Noah's adventure is filled with miracles from God as well. The one thing that is especially awesome with the story of Noah's Ark is the idea that people can relate to it. When you talk to children about Noah's Ark, they all know about it. There's probably been 5 million different coloring books that have pictures of all the animals on Noah's Ark sticking their heads up over the edge of the deck, and the picture of Noah herding in the animals and things like that. It's a story that children can relate to, but when you go to the Ark Encounter, it's not just children there. There's a lot of adults there, and they're there because of the awesomeness of the architecture, the awesomeness of that engineering feat to build a boat that can serve the purpose that it served, to save mankind and to save the animals. And there are some hard truths when we talk about the story of Noah's Ark as well. One of those hard truths is that mankind is not inherently good. We have the scripture that's listed here. I'll just read it in Genesis 6:5, where it says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But then it goes on and says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal." So when you think of some of the differences between conservative thought today and, we'll say, liberal thought or left-wing thought, one of the major differences is the idea of the goodness of mankind. In conservative thought, it's very clear in Scripture that mankind can sometimes have evil motives, wicked motives even. And so when it comes time to form a government, or it comes time to form rules for society, that's taken into consideration. And so there's checks and balances that are put in place, for example, in the United States, in the way they develop their government. The problem we're running into today is there's lots that are wanting to undo those things, because they have this inner thought that you know, the world is actually the world is actually pretty good, and people are, you know, all people are good at, you know, in the base of their heart. And so the idea of we can have social programs where we don't require people to work because they're going to just want to work out of the goodness of their heart, even though we're going to give them a guaranteed income. And the problem with that is that, no, if you're going to give people, if you reward people not doing something, then you're going to get whatever behaviors you're rewarding. And so some of the challenges we're facing today have to do with people losing sight of what's clear in Scripture. And what's clear in Scripture is that mankind is not inherently good and is not inherently going to always make the right choices. A spectacle, such as the Ark Encounter, is designed to inspire and, I believe, act as a tool of evangelism. My airport shuttle driver, so when I was dropping off the rental car, we took a rental car down to David and I to visit the site. When I dropped the car off at the airport, the shuttle driver was driving me back to the hotel. And I was saying, hey, I was just at the Ark Encounter. And he goes, oh, I've never been there, but I've always wanted to go, and there's some things I was wanting to study into. And he said, I hear there's dinosaurs on the Ark. And the next point that I'm making is a point that I learned from Pastor Murray, to put the focus on God and his miracles and salvation and not on being a smarty pants who can argue young earth versus old earth creationism. It's so easy to take a lead-in like that where someone shows interest, has a legitimate question. It's so easy to take that and to, you know, go off into, you know, whatever your belief is or what someone else's belief is. What's important there is to point out some of the things that we have in common. So I said, some people believe there were dinosaurs on the Ark, such as the builders of the Ark Encounter. And so, yes, if you go there, you're going to see some cages that have dinosaurs in. One of the points that they make is that the Ark is large enough that it could have supported dinosaurs if that's what was needed. If there were not dinosaurs there, because I also went on and said, some people believe that mankind is separated by millions of years from the dinosaurs. And so if that was the case, then there were not dinosaurs on the Ark. And that's okay too, because there's room if the room was needed. But what this exhibit allows is for either explanation to work. So the important thing that I said that we all agree on, whether we're young earth creationists or old earth creationists, we're all Christians. We all believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And we all believe that God saved the world by the miracles of the flood and of Noah and his ark. And it can be fun and interesting to explore the history, since the science of flood geology is out there. And there's places around the world where you can see evidence that there was a flood in all these various places around the world. And there's evidence as well of the flood potentially being a local event as well. So one of the ways that Scripture leaves this puzzle is listed here in Proverbs 25, where it says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." Some people love the challenge of figuring out, you know, which is it? Were there dinosaurs there? There's lots of different questions you can ask. On the back, it has a list of some have you ever wondered questions that come to mind. How big was Noah's Ark? And again, David and I can contest that it's 1.5 football fields long. Because when you're walking inside of it, you walk 1.5 football fields, then you go up to the next level, and that's right, you walk back 1.5 football fields. And then level 3 is another 1.5 football field, so it's an enormous, enormous structure. How did Noah fit all the animals on board? And again, there's examples of the different sizes of animals and the different kinds of cages, the way that they would have fed the animals and watered them. And so part of the intent of the spectacle that they created in Cincinnati is to show to people, to give people some faith that, hey, mankind could actually build a boat like this. Mankind has done some incredible buildings in the past, the pyramids, for example. And building a boat, again, it doesn't have to be mankind on his own. We understand that God used miracles as well. He might have given Noah some incredible ability as an engineer to engineer correctly what was necessary to build that kind of a structure. How did Noah care for all those animals? And how did Noah build the ark? So lots of different questions. They showed how they built this ark with some time-lapse photography. It took about 2 years. With Noah's ark, they figure it was somewhere between 80 to 120 years, based on different spots in the Bible where it talks about how long it took to build. So the neat thing about the idea of God potentially keeping something hidden, as in, was creation millions and millions of years ago, billions even of years ago, or was it sooner than that? We know that ultimately God knows the answer. The way that Pastor Murray often puts it is, I'm pretty sure I can explain what's happened in the last 50 years, or I'm not sure if he's quite 50 yet. I'm pretty sure I could explain what's happened in the last 50 years because I've been alive that period of time. What's happened before I was alive, I can't really attest to. So that's one way, it's a humble way of making the point that you weren't alive either, and so you might think you know, but you're still basing it on what evidence you've been able to dig up. But we know that God knows the answers, and someday we can ask. Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is the Eternal, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." And so I can't imagine when someone is resurrected and speaking to God, and they ask the question, is the young earth creationism right? Is the world just 6,000 years old? Or is the old earth creationism right, where the earth is billions of years old? And he's going to give an answer, and that'll be the right answer. I can't imagine someone that has the wrong answer being upset with God. God knows what the answer is, and one day we'll know it as well. Mankind is made in the image of God and is so important to God. Scripture says this poetically in referencing the ark floating around for 5 months. In Genesis 8:1 it says, so again, Noah closed the doors of the ark. All the animals were there. For 5 months he's been busy, he and his family, tending to the animals, watering them, cleaning up after them, feeding them, probably playing with them. In the ark exhibit, they have different rooms, living quarters that Noah would have spent time in and his family. So it's a pretty interesting adventure, a little more than 5 months. And we have this reference in Genesis 8:1 where it says, "Then God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided." So there's a period of time when Noah and his family seem to be on their own, but the poetic way is saying that God remembered them. God was keenly interested in what was happening there, and he had his full attention on that. But I like the poetic way of saying he remembered them, he caused the wind to blow, and then the ark would settle on the ground. So in closing, the Bible is filled with encouragement, and using spectacles like the ark encounter, it allows you to strike up conversations with anybody, because everyone has opinions on it and thoughts. And so one way of striking up a conversation with a shuttle driver, or I happen to be getting a checkup this week, and my family doctor, I was mentioning, hey, I was at the ark encounter and saw this giant ark. And so I think as a tool of evangelism, spectacles like this that are described in the Bible are things that people are keenly interested in. Children have a natural inclination to be interested in and to wonder about the animals, have lots of questions. And adults have lots of questions as well.